Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Power Word Share number 105, the Positive Word Power book, a beautiful book by Art Scroll, Building a Better World with Words You Speak. And he goes through certain anecdotes and then bases some lessons based on these anecdotes. One of them is a story about two brothers that hated each other for a very long period of time. So this is the sad story of it, and unfortunately it resonates in the real life examples as well at times. Mordechai spent the final 45 years of his life hating his brother Label. It was something Label had said, a thoughtless, hurtful remark that caused his brother to declare that he would never speak to him again, and indeed, he was as good to his word. So when Mordechai lost his wife, Label came to be Menachem Avil, to comfort Mordechai. And Mordechai sat silently staring past him as if he was not there. Finally, Mordechai, the one who was sitting Shiva for his wife, his hatred pushed his way out of his heart, into his throat, and out into the world, and yelled out, "Who needs you here?" he told Label, "Get out of my house." And Label rose up in miserable silence and left, and accepting that idea that he had no brother. In the final analysis, it was Mordechai, not Label, who suffered from this hatred. You know, early on, Label decided he would simply act as if nothing had happened. He apologized already many times, saw it wasn't working, and he went on with his life. As sad as he was, he went on with his life. Mordechai lived, though, with that hatred clinging to his soul. Ultimately, it ruled him, forcing him to destroy what could have been a source of love and comfort in his life. So this is a sad, sobering time, and maybe people don't experience this to an extreme like described in this anecdote, but a person needs to understand what hatred does to him and how destructive it is more to the person who is hating than the person who is the subject of that hatred. So you have to understand yourself. Sometimes what causes hatred is an insecurity. Is an insecurity. It's an example, for example, if a yeshiva student doubts their own ability to learn, they'll have a burning resentment against another yeshiva student, another neighbor that just has things are going smoothly and they learn beautifully. So you may have resentment against your neighbor because your son struggles and his son is thriving. And there's an insecurity that's connected to that. And sometimes the neighbor will just want to say conversations and the neighbor will say, you know, how you doing? You know, my son's in this yeshiva and he's steiging here. And the neighbor's not trying to shtuch him. He's not trying to play him down. He's not trying to one-up him. He just wanted to have conversation that he thinks was appropriate. It may have not been tactful, but he had no negative intent. But you took it that way because of your insecurity. So to overcome that insecurity, to overcome and recognize everyone has flaws and we have the ability to remove a hatred and misunderstandings from our heart, that's a very, very important concept. Another idea is you have the Sarah, hardworking teacher, mother of a financially strained large family. Her neighbor Esther is a full-time mother but has wealthy, ample household health, nice new car, reserves of money, leisure time. And so when Esther tells Sarah, you know, I bought this new car, I bought this new design, and I bought this, and I got that. So the one that's struggling is seething in resentment over the person's insensitivity. You know, you're telling me about all these purchases you make and all these things you make. You can't tell that I'm struggling like crazy. But and sometimes it could be that this Esther or whoever this person is that has this wealthier lifestyle is just trying to be kind and carry conversations. It could be that this person is indeed some self-centered. That's a flaw. But Sarah also has her flaws. So you have to face that fact that everyone has their own insecurities. And that could create a perception shift. To acknowledge the other person's another person, they have their own flaws, I have my own flaws. We're all created in a Tzelem Elokim. We have to respect each other. Self-esteem, respect each other's self-image, our godliness that's inherent within ourselves, and that will help remove that negative feeling that's felt. So that is the idea when you dealing towards with other people, that you harbor some negative feelings, apply these suggestions and try to change your perspective, not to personalize it, to recognize they have flaws, that's just like you have flaws, and do your best you can with it as best as you could. So that's one lesson. Another important lesson in the power of words is how parents interact with their children. To be very sensitive. You have the muscle of a diamond polisher. When a diamond polisher approaches a valuable stone, when you want to clean it from its impurities, you don't take a blunt instrument. What he does, and again, I'm not a diamond expert, but you mark off exactly where the imperfection lies. Precision tools. No other part of the stone will be unnecessarily harmed. And you zoom in on that, just that one flawed point of it. Precisely aim for that purpose. And that's all. That's how you treat it when there is the words they have to use. See, oinas dvarim, causing pain with words, is usser, whether you're talking to a child or an adult. But with children, especially one's own children, the challenge is greater and the harm is more devastating. Because we always interact with our children. They sometimes defy us. They sometimes slow us down. They sometimes frustrate our best efforts. And when they behave badly, we feel a chiyuv to correct them. And we have waning patience, and it's easy for us to explode. And when we do, our child feels terrible and diminished. When we have a tirade from an adult can be very traumatic for a child. And many people have experienced, they return to their childhood home or vacation spot, and things change, you know. Yeah, you have to realize that we are very affected by that. So a parent's message to a child has to be very, very measured. So here's one example of a misuse of it. You know, a father saw a child pick up a crayon on Shabbos, violating the laws of Muksa. So he yelled at the kid. Kid burst into tears. So the father enforced the Rabbanan of Muksa by violating the Isser Taira of Einas Devarim. More healthy is to have that love, warm connection, cable, to talk about values, perspectives, emotions, love, could explain the concept of the Muksa in a healthy, guarded way. That's the key. Don't damage the relationship. And the worst way to damage relationship very often is through Einas Devarim. So the lesson is that is when you feel that impatience beginning to build up in your interaction with a child, slow down, relax, prepare yourself to take additional time, to think through the situation, how to convey to your child the message that you need to convey to the child without violating Einas Devarim. And that's a skill. And that's an avoda that we really need to work on. So both of these concepts that we talked about today that would lead to Einas Devarim and try to prevent it. The first lesson of how often we have this hatred that's deep-seated, that very often comes from our own insecurities. And to recognize that we have our flaws and that other person also has their flaws. Because even if you had a justification, you were right, the other person was insensitive. They have their flaws, we have our flaws. To let go. To let go of those negative feelings. Change your perspective. Again, this is easier said than done. It's hard avoida. It's not easy. Bein adam l'chaver is not easy. You're mevater. Hashem is mevater. The Chaim Kadeski always said, by being mevater, you bring in tremendous bracha into your home, tremendous bracha to yourself. And to be mavar midaisav, it is, of course, not easy, but it could be done, and you gain. You let go. You let go of that hatred. You let go of those feelings of insecurity that very often is driven, that hatred and jealousy is often driven by one's own sense of insecurity. So it's very important to realize and recognize that. Build a healthy self-esteem so you don't feel that threatened by another person's not-so-good behavior towards you, and you'll be able to adapt accordingly. And the second lesson of a parent treating the child like a diamond polisher treats a valuable stone. When you want to clean an impurity, you don't smash it with a blunt instrument. You mark it exactly where the imperfection lies, and you direct it towards that, but with a precision tool, with the right amount of pressure, with a not with, of course, with the intent to fix and to heal. And that's what you do as a parent. You don't bash your child. You don't smash them to smithereens. You don't use Einas Devarim. You laser focus in a healthy, loving way towards whatever that correction that needs to be had. And those, both of these situations, the harboring hatred in your heart that promotes Einas Devarim, and the impatience with one's child that could promote Einas Devarim, to reverse that by removing hatred from one's heart, by being precision type of correction with your child in a healthy, loving way. And that will prevent that terrible plague of Einas Devarim from taking place. And it will bring Sholem and Menuchas HaNefesh, not just to the other person who's being the victim of that Einas Devarim, but for the person who would normally say these things and now isn't, and has that Menuchas HaNefesh in their hearts and in their soul. That's the biggest bracha they could possibly have. And it's worth working towards it. And to develop that Menuchas HaNefesh and peace of mind and love that will remove all Einas Devarim from our lives. Bracha v'atzlacha.